Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on today's show, Xbox had another partner preview, WB Games is doubling down on live service, and there's an open letter from Twitch's CEO. What's good, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the What's Good Games podcast, your source for video game news, commentary, analysis, and the funny stuff every Friday. I'm one of your hosts, Andrea Renee, joined live in studio by Mrs. Rihanna Manuel Pena.
I showed up.
You're here. It's very exciting. I actually cleaned the desk off, de-dusted everything, moved the camera back because we have another very special guest. Please welcome host and producer back on the show, Naomi Kyle.
Yay. Hi, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Oh, of course.
I'm so excited to finally be. It's been probably years.
So. Yeah, it's been.
It's about time.
An egregiously long amount of time. Well, the whole reason I built this thing was to do this exact thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get to do more of it. And we're so excited that you are here this week because you just launched your brand new show, This Week in Gaming.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk more about
new in air quotes,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, exactly. We're on episode 4. So yeah, it's going to be a really good turnout, hopefully. And we really are just aiming for. Just base gaming news. It's really basic, but it's really fun. And I've been doing it with iHeart and it's being broadcast across Canada, which is very cool. Yay. So as a Canadian, very proud. But yeah.
Good old fashioned radio show.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's basically, it's just me reading the gaming news, you know, as I do. I've done it for years. And then we actually have you on for this episode.
That's
so if you guys go click wherever you get your podcast, go to This Week in Gaming, and there will be an episode with Andrea.
Yeah, and we'll have the link in the show notes for you guys as well. If you want to check it out, please do follow and subscribe to Naomi's show. So this show, I actually guested on back in its other form.
That's right.
When it was previously on a different platform.
Yes. We've had various versions. So I've done Last Week in Gaming. So now it's called This Week in Gaming. Mm-hmm. Then we've had before that Everybody Games, which, you know, is just another casual hour to long podcast where we just chat about gaming stuff. This is a bit more formatted. It's 20 minutes. It's super fast. So it's going to be like 10 minutes of gaming news, super just like, here's all this important stuff you need to know. We like to break it down for you very easily. And then we do a 10 minute kind of dissecting the news. And so that's when you came on and we chatted about, you know, parenting in the age of video games for kids and all that stuff. So,
yes, in lieu of a new report, which was weird because a new report about bullying in video games over digital cosmetics.
Yes.
And it was interesting when you brought that story up to me because I was like, I feel like I've read this story before and it's because.
It's not new per se.
Well, it's because that specific study is new, but this specific issue has been
ongoing for a long time.
Has been a problem.
The breadth of human existence, right?
That's right.
Bullying, yes.
Yeah.
It's a really dark part of the human psyche that I wish didn't exist, but. You know, it's almost like a rite of passage now.
We live in a society.
Yes. That makes people feel inferior.
That's
and
right.
They try to make themselves feel superior by making others feel inferior.
The Lady Gaga skin in Fortnite is pretty superior,
yeah.
I will say.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I went ahead and bought it.
You did? Okay.
I did. Okay. I had to. I haven't played in like months, but I had to buy the skin.
For Gaga.
For Gaga.
You got to do it for Gaga.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did I update Fortnite? In anticipation of doing the same thing myself? Who could say? Who could say? We'll find out eventually. Welcome, everybody, to the show. I want to remind y'all that we are on a new private membership platform, or should I say premium membership. So if you want to listen to What's Good Games ad-free and get some fun exclusive content, please head on over to supercast.com. But it's whatsgoodgames.supercast.com. Mm-hmm. That's the actual address. whatsgoodgames.supercast.com. We're in the process of the Patreon migration. More details on that coming soon. Sorry for the delay on that. Some technical things happening on the back end there. But no need to worry about that because we've got a couple weeks till the end of the month anyway. Thank you to this month's Patreon producers, the Bored Ape Gamers Club, Ferris Atia, Joshua Franklin, Justin Foshi, and Punctified. And welcome to our Patreon community. We have a bunch of people that signed up, even though I told you specifically not to. and then thank you to our new reviewers, Stefan Liu, and Grizzly X Battle. If you guys don't have a couple dollars to throw our way, we understand. Times are tough right now. But hopefully you have a couple minutes to leave us a five-star review. Did you know that you can actually do a five-star review on Spotify? You don't have to write any words. You just click all five of those stars. That's it. It's super easy.
I did not know that. I'm going to start doing that
today
now.
You learned. I'm gonna and it learn. Helps us. It helps people find us. So a couple minutes is all we ask for. We appreciate it. We love y'all. All right, everybody, we're going to start off this week's episode talking about this Xbox partner preview. I feel like this came out of nowhere. They were just like, surprise!
I mean, it's clear that they had been planning this, but then kind of got derailed a little bit with the podcast that we saw while we were all at the DICE Summit. But it's good to hear again.
Yes. I think it's interesting that that took such precedence in their PR sphere, people just being loud on the internet about what was happening. And then as we discussed in terrible audio quality, sorry again about that, the nothing burgerness of that whole podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, this, not a nothing burger.
This is definitely not a nothing burger, but I am glad that they're coming back and giving us like actual news that we want to hear about.
Yes.
Thanks. Thanks for not leaving it at that podcast. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, I almost forgot. Rihanna, congrats on an awesome job on the Spannies.
Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. I haven't seen you since that came out.
Yeah, I guess we recorded right before it, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I really, really appreciate it. It was an incredible experience, as always. I love working with Khalif, and the Spawn on Me team is fantastic. The audience was so, so great. We were in chat the whole time, hanging out. It was a lot of fun.
A lot of viewers, too. A lot of people watching.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to Twitch for putting us on front page, and thanks again to IGN for co-streaming, and it was the best time. It always is.
Ah, so good.
Yeah.
Love
you
Khalif.
You guys are the best.
Thanks.
Yes. If you guys missed it, you can head on over to the Spawn on Me YouTube channel and check it out there. And when you're there, you know, give our friend Khalif a follow.
Yeah.
A subscribe. A little heart button. You know, some comments. Engagement is important, everybody.
It is.
Okay, on to the partner preview. So this was actually a lot beefier than I thought it was going to be. Mm. I thought maybe we'd get just a small handful of games because the last partner preview was more of a concentrated look at like just a, like I think there was like six or seven titles in the last one. And this one had quite a few. And it started with Unknown 9 Awakening. So we originally heard about this game at Gamescom 2020 and had a really splashy cinematic trailer. And we, I think, as a community, were like, what is this game? I don't know anything about Unknown 9. And if you guys aren't familiar, Unknown 9 as a entertainment IP is very much the definition of transmedia with comic books. They have a digital series and now they're creating this game. And to be honest, I tried to find like what embodies this franchise and I still am confused about what Unknown 9 actually is.
Super deep lore.
Yeah. So it's like very sci-fi based, of course, sci-fi and fantasy, and has a really interesting collection of characters. And the look we got today was a really nice look at gameplay. And the vibes that I got when I saw this was Assassin's Creed.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I do want to say that this trailer looks impressive. I really love the art stylings, but at first when I saw this, I was like, is this a new Assassin's Creed?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Thought that until this reflector Bandai Namco logo splashed on the screen. And then I was like, okay, so what is this then? And then I was like, oh, this is that game from forever ago that we didn't know about. But I absolutely want to know more about, you know, like what is happening here. So according to Xbox Wire, this is a third-person action-adventure title centered on a character named Haruna, a truth seeker with a troubled past whose connection to a shadowy dimension known as the Fold, the Animus, has blessed her with powerful abilities, Eagle Eye. So clearly there's something different going on here, but I just, with the stealth sections and the third-person action-adventure vibes, it just really kind of made me think of what was happening in Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I mean, you had parkour in there. That's always going to harken back to Assassin's Creed. Parkour and scarves.
Yeah.
I mean, scarves are great. Yeah. So they also wrote, today's announcement officially reveals Anya Chalatra as the actress who breathes life into The Awakening. It's very possible I said her name completely wrong. And she's best known for her role as Yennefer of Vengerberg in the Witcher Netflix series. So if you guys saw that, you all know who this actress is. A very striking look. So I'm interested to see how she does here. They have mentioned that she's never done a video game before, though this is her first video game, and that's exciting for her. And then The other blurb about gameplay says, by harnessing the Fold's potent energy, Haruna manipulates people, objects, and weapons from any distance. At the flick of a wrist, she obliterates whatever stands in her path. Wow. And her capacity to shield oncoming fire is nothing short of impressive. But what makes her a uniquely formidable force is that she can step into any of her foes, leveraging their size, skill, weaponry to defeat whoever she's up against. So that is like, wait, so she's like...
possessing people.
Like, that's what it sounds like.
I'm getting like Dishonored. I'm getting... a bit of like Hellblade 2 in terms of like the art style, but yeah, it's really cool.
I want to have really high expectations and hopes for this.
Yes.
But I'm trying to be measured because I also had really like high hopes for Forspoken.
Yeah.
Which this is giving me a lot of Forspoken
energy
vibes
as well.
Yeah. And that game was not a bad game by any means. Nope. It just didn't live up to my expectations. And so I'm trying to be a little bit more measured now until I get to see and play the game for myself. Especially since Reflector as a studio has kind of like an interesting background. And I like that Bandai Namco has come on board and said, hey, we're going to publish this and work with you guys. And I'm just, you know, yeah. I want to see more. I want to play. I want to check it out. But it's coming soon, apparently, summer 2024.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
It's really soon.
Very soon. So we'll be hearing more and more, I'm sure. But it's exciting to see. I wouldn't say this is necessarily in a AAA, maybe like more of a AA space since, you know, it's connected to a large house of IP. There's obviously an existing fan base. Yeah. So that's a lot of support that will hopefully cross over into the game. But I just like seeing something new coming to our neck of the woods as a gaming audience, you know, like Immortals, Forspoken. There's been some of these, you know, cross between fantasy and game mechanics that we've seen before that have been sometimes successful and sometimes not successful. Mm-hmm. And I always encourage innovation. It's fun to see somebody trying something different, even if it's with an existing IP.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
And this absolutely looks up my alley, the exact kind of game I love to play. So fingers crossed.
Yeah.
So there was quite a few other announcements, just some of the ones that I wanted to call out that I saw. Creatures of Ava, they mentioned the story by Rihanna Pratchett, who's known for doing a lot of really cool narrative stuff in video games. This is the gameplay that they showed in the Xbox Partner Preview. It's a really cool art style. The first thing I thought was like, oh my God, she's like Snow White in the sense that she's like musically in tune with all these cute little creatures and she is like walking around and all the animals are following her around like a Disney princess.
So this is like a beautiful art style. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, very pretty, very colorful.
If you're listening, if you have time, go check out the YouTube video. This is gorgeous.
So cute.
Yeah, so I like that the partner preview, it had such a kind of wide range of all of the different kinds of games. And we've been seeing that, you know, from a lot of the platform showcases, whether it be Nintendo, PlayStation, or Xbox in this case. So you play the role of a creature saver, according to Xbox article. Learn the local customs of the native people of Ava, who have a deep spiritual connection with the planet and all of its life forms. And you can use flute skills. You can communicate with these creatures and see what they see and request their assistance to figure out puzzles that involve Ava's surroundings and the natural world.
Aw, that's nice that you're not fighting them like...
I know.
Like captured slave like animals.
Yeah.
It's a good twist on the genre for sure.
I think it's super cute. And it's also coming in 2024. So I wanted to highlight that one as well. I'm not going to go through everything in the Xbox Partner Preview, as I already mentioned, but just a couple of quick highlights. The Sinking City 2 trailer was terrifying, and I'm sure Brittany was quivering in excitement, as she does. The Roblox Greenville Cross Chucky, I don't know what this is. It looked kind of like Dead by Daylight, but the music in the trailer was super spooky, and it feels like a really fun like Halloween thing, but otherwise I'm like, no Chucky, please. No, thank you. Stalker was the one that stood out for me as a fan of the Metro series. I had tweeted that I have a gap in my gaming knowledge when it comes to Stalker specifically. I never played the original Stalker franchise on PC, and I'm assuming neither of you did as well.
No. Metro, yes. Metro.
Yeah, so Metro is a different type of gameplay, but same kind of visual aesthetic.
Yeah.
This like Fallout, Ukraine, like weird mutated monsters. But clearly Stalker as a franchise is a different game. And I thought it was really interesting that Xbox has out now the Legends of the Zone trilogy. Shadows of Chernobyl, Clear Sky, and The Call of Pripyat are all available to play in anticipation of Stalker 2, which is coming September 5th, 2024. 2024 later this year. Also, we got Monster Jam Showdown, some gameplay from them, Persona 3 Reloaded Expansion Pass. We got a good look at Tales of K'Zaar Zhao,
yes,
which was awesome. I know you're very excited about that one. Yeah. We got some details on Frostpunk 2, their pre-order and beta news. And then another one I wanted to point out, Kunitsugami, Path of the Goddess, which is a mix of action and real-time strategy that's coming from Capcom. Really cool art style and an unexpected game for me that I didn't think to be interested in. But head on over to the Xbox Wire if you guys are interested in looking at deep dives. I do really appreciate that the Xbox team knows that people like us are like, I need more info. I don't just want a trailer. And their team's been doing a really great job of being like, come check out this interview.
Yeah.
And look at this, you know, exclusive coverage that we did. I mean, you are kind of taking my job away from me, and I'm trying not to be upset about that while also being excited that you're doing really thorough work on your own titles. But, you know, we can discuss that later at some point.
Take it offline.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, that is going to be the feature news that we wanted to do for this week. And I am adding on one other thing because it's just a little bit too big for me to put into headlines. Because with this new format, the thing I've been trying to do, Naomi, is to do really short form news and then leave like one big story for us to talk about so we have more time for hands on. But man, there's just been so much news this last month, and most of it's been bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this next story is just universally bad or just feels bad, man. So you all may have seen that Warner Brothers made announcement. I should say Warner Brothers Discovery, like the big parent company, was in the news this week. And the headline was, volatile AAA console games will lean into free-to-play and mobile, as they've been discussed by the head of WBD at a Morgan Stanley speaking event, as reported by GameSpot. So let me just read a little bit from this story because Eddie did some really great reporting here. Warner Brothers Discovery gaming boss J.B. Perrette discussed some of the company's strategy for gaming going forward, and it includes more live service, mobile, and free-to-play games. He said, quote, we're doubling down on games as an area where we think there is a lot more growth opportunity that we can tap into with the IP that we have and some of the capabilities we have on the studios where we're uniquely positioned as both a publisher and a developer of the games. Not controversial. That seems like a winning strategy. He continued that to mention that their recent gaming output has focused on AAA games for console, and that's great when a game like Hogwarts Legacy sells 22 million copies, it becomes the best-selling game of the year, but this kind of success is never guaranteed in what Perrette calls a volatile market, as we've been discussing all year. It's volatile. That's a really nice way of saying it.
Oh, yeah.
He pointed out that one of WBD's latest big games, Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, was a disappointment for the company. So that's not the news. The news is down below, later into the story, according to this Morgan Stanley speaking event, he said, rather than just launching a one-and-done console game, how do we develop a game around, for example, Hogwarts Legacy or Harry Potter that's a live service game where people can live and work and build and play in that world on an ongoing basis?
Mm-hmm. Sounds cool.
Right. I feel like that's not in and of itself controversial.
Sure.
It sounds cool. But I had mentioned it feels a little bit confusing coming off of the incredible success of a standalone single player narrative focused adventure game.
Yeah.
I'm just like, wait, what? But that wasn't, you don't want to do that anymore?
Yeah, I think they're gunning for people who are going to stay in that world, buy stuff in that world, you know, the cosmetics stuff. And everyone wants to, you know, have a Minecraft or something that's the biggest success for the Fortnite. So I just feel like that's everyone's kind of focus. They just want to keep people in the game and so hopefully have their eyeballs and their money along with it, you know?
Yeah.
So not just one-offs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's what it is.
Yeah, definitely, you know? Think the idea of building a metaverse has been at the forefront of a lot of these executives' minds over the last 5 years.
Yeah.
And we're seeing some of that come to fruition. Obviously, we had the big Disney announcement earlier this year, them investing in Fortnite and making their own kind of Disneyverse with Epic Games. And we know that Xbox is already working on that as well on a number of different fronts. PlayStation, we I think have kind of yet to see where they stand as far as creating a metaverse is. But I'm not surprised that this is the move that they wanted to make, especially in the wake of Tencent's head of their gaming division being like, we're doing good, but not good enough.
Never enough.
And so I'm like, well, but what is good enough? Right? We talked about this on the show last week. And I just don't know where that line is. Like, what is a success if not selling 22 million copies?
Go ahead. Honestly, I don't think the limit does not exist. I just rewatched Mean Girls. There is no ceiling for these companies like that.
Growth every year or else.
And even if it's growth, if it's not enough growth, then curtains.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess it is the thing that, you know, games have become more expensive to make, exponentially more expensive, and the dollar value for one-offs is like a one-time buy-in, right? And then they don't have that attention anymore. So I think those live services are just going to be more and more the thing that people are focusing on. But whether or not they can compete with the ones that already exist is like, we have to wait and see for that. I don't know.
Yeah. I think that's what gaming overall as an industry is reckoning with right now, is just too much growth too fast. And there's been whispers from other pundits in the space talking about, is a video game crash coming? I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not coming.
It's constricting.
It's constricting only because there was a ballooning, but it's not constricting to a point where a crash is inevitable.
No, there's too many gamers, too many kids.
Yeah, like no one's abandoning the industry in mass like that. No.
Yeah. And consumer spend is up. Like a lot of the economic stories that are happening or coming out of the United States in particular is that there's not a slowdown of spending happening.
No.
Now, how we're paying for all of that spending is a whole nother conversation for a different podcast. But I think that this is expected, but also makes me, as somebody who loves those big single player narrative focused games, like a little bit concerned that they're going to take some of their really talented studios and make them work on a live service game that they don't want to work on, like BioWare had to do for EA. Yeah. And now look what happened to them. Mm-hmm. And I'm hoping that they're going to get back on track, but like, I don't want to see that happen to a studio like Monolith or like Rocksteady or, you know, like Avalanche or any of these other teams that have done really cool narrative storytelling, unless that's what the studio also wants to do. And then I'm like, you do you, boo. But I just, you know, I love those stories. I want more of them. All right. And on that note, we're going to take our first quick break of the show. When we come back, we've got some quick headlines for you. Stick with us. We'll see you in a minute. Let's get into some headlines for this week, starting with Game of the Year winning RPG Baldur's Gate 3 is finally getting a physical edition this spring, and developer Larian Studios has confirmed it will be a whopping 4 discs on Xbox Series X. They said the data was just too much for the initially planned 3 discs. Game. So 4 it is. The PC version is coming out first, with a PS5 version slated to come sometime in April, and then the Xbox version will follow later in the spring. Larian also confirmed official mod support is in the works, including cross-platform mod support. Ooh. That's exciting.
Yeah. It'll be fun.
Director of Publishing Michael Dowse at Larian called the support robust, but did not indicate when it would be available.
So, I love when they use that word, robust. It just feels like, y'all, we did everything.
It's going to be busty, guys. Mm. It's going to be...
robust mods. There's definitely going to be busty mods for sure.
I mean, the sky's the limit at that point.
Without a doubt.
Yep, it's going to happen.
It's awesome. So women get a league of their own in MLB The Show 24. That's a nice little
I think that's
twist.
Cool.
Yeah, Women's History Month.
Very happy to see that.
So ladies are making their way to the award-winning baseball simulator from Sony San Diego in Road to the Show, Women Pave Their Way. In the new addition to the Road to the Show mode, you'll be able to create and play as a woman ball player. And this is according to PlayStation blog. So narrative designer Molly Braley said, "This feature was inspired by the stories of women in baseball. It's also meant to highlight the strength, tenacity, and resilience that it takes to break into the sport, but not shy away from the struggles that many have faced." And MLB The Show 24 hits PS5 and PS4 on March 19th. And MLB The Show has also had really great success with the Negro League content that they did. I believe this was 2023. Mm-hmm. I've heard nothing but high praise for that piece of content. So I'm really excited about this one. It's going to be cool to hear.
I loved seeing this in the news because I think it's so important when developers lead the way with diversifying the characters and the themes, storylines in their video games. And it takes people at the top of their game, a really great studio like Sony San Diego, to say, you know, no one's going to force us to put these stories that are part of the history of baseball into our really popular sports game, but we're going to do it because we think it's important and we love telling these stories. And, you know, kudos to you, PlayStation, for funding it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Little girls will be playing that and they'll be like, I can play baseball.
They can.
Yeah, I can become in the league or just pick up a sport or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
It's inspiring.
Representation matters.
Yeah.
Okay, next up, Steam has finally launched its game hiding features. Y'all have been waiting, I know it.
Ooh.
Previously available only in beta, the ability to hide your game library from your friends is now available on the PC gaming platform. You can now mark your games as private, which makes them invisible to others in your library and your activity feeds.
Great.
I know y'all have some dirty secrets hiding in your Steam
There's
library.
There's some dirty games out there.
Oh, yeah. Nobody has to know I'm playing Honey Pop again.
Listen, it's Dreamlight Valley for me. I just don't need the heat.
You should wear that badge proudly. There's no shame in playing Dreamlight Valley.
Oh, thank you. Well, I mean, the shame is that I should be playing other things. It's like when I get it's like when I get on Britney's case for going back and playing her SNES games for like the 100th time. And I was like, girl, we got stuff to play.
There's
she was like,
new
I know.
Things. Yeah. stay on top of it.
It's tough, you know, like the backlog is intimidating. Sometimes you just want your comfort food, you know?
Yeah, good point.
Yes,
good point.
Exactly.
That's true.
Well, speaking of Nintendo, Yuzu creators agree to pay Nintendo $2.4 million over its Switch emulator. Mm. So Tropic Haze, the developers of an online Nintendo Switch emulator, got walloped by Nintendo's legal team last week for what Nintendo called facilitating piracy at a colossal scale. Or should I say they were threatened with the walloping and decided to agree to Nintendo's demands, which included surrendering the yuzu.emu.org domain to Nintendo, shutting down all servers, hosting sites, and social media promotion, and deleting all copies of the emulator and software used to build it. Oh, and handing over any physical hardware they used as well. Cleaned out, y'all. So Yuzu's Nintendo 3DS emulator Citra is included in the deal, meaning both Yuzu and Citra are permanently offline. The interesting wrinkle to the story is what may have happened if Nintendo and Tropic Haze went to court, because it is not a cut and dried case in regards to copyright infringement. Mm. But apparently the daunting legal battle over DMCA rights and associated costs was far less appealing than fully destroying the project and paying damages. So in a post on the Yuzu Discord, the developer Bunny wrote, "We started the projects in good faith, out of passion for Nintendo and its consoles and games, and we're not intending to cause harm.
Yeah.
Piracy was never our intention, and we believe that piracy of video games and on video game consoles should end." So they were on board with everything being reckoned with, but it sounds like it was a really...
What a hit.
Really tough hit.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I mean, Nintendo has historically been very aggressive in its legal battles against people who run emulating services, who pirate their games. They've had a closed ecosystem since they've been making hardware and software.
Yeah.
And I was not surprised to see this. We almost covered the news last week, and then I was like, I want to wait until a little bit more comes out. And then, of course, we got this news that, in fact, you know, Yuzu is officially shut down. It's donezo.
It's gone. Like, yeeted into the sun.
Yeah. A lot of the kind of legal analysis that I read about this was that, you know, emulators aren't inherently illegal. There are some precedents for where emulators, depending on how they're set up, can be done legally. But this one provided like a backdoor loophole for people to kind of jailbreak Nintendo's technology, which allowed for piracy, which is why Nintendo called it, what did they say, facilitating piracy at a colossal scale.
Yikes.
And that's on, you know, Tropical Haze's watch for putting the software and the source code available and making those loopholes built within their system. So
yeah, and there is an argument to be made for video game preservation, which, you know, is something that we've all been thinking about a lot with the age of streaming and you know, EULAs and not owning any of the content that we love to play so much. But Nintendo is a unique one where you can play a lot of their games still on their system. So it is a tough one to net out. I feel really bad for Tropic Haze in this. It's tough.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like they had nefarious intent when they
created
all of this. So
yeah.
Sorry, guys.
But when you create something like this, you just have to assume the worst in humanity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to forget the interview that Todd Howard did about The Elder Scrolls V Skyrim.
Mm.
When he said, we had to make sure to build into the gameplay that you can't kill the children in the game because we know that that's what people would do.
Yep.
So you can't kill children in Skyrim. And he's like, because we know if we had it in there that people would do it.
And they would literally do it just to say like, oh, see, look, I can kill a kid.
Yeah. Or for views or whatever.
Twisted. Y'all are twisted.
It's real, real dark.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is a little bit brighter. We have an open letter from the new CEO of Twitch. So Dan Clancy, and I believe he came into the position last year, I want to say. He said it's been about a year since he's been there. In efforts to be transparent, we have a couple words from them. So long story short, they've talked about some of the improvements they made to Twitch platform in 2023 and then highlighted a few of the things that they want to focus on this year, including clip export direct to Instagram, mobile clip editor improvements, expanding their Stream Together program. That's where you have several streamers all in one, one feed, making it easier and more intuitive to set up, and then adding the ability to spontaneously find and collaborate with streamers, which is pretty interesting. They're also adding ways to merge your chats and combine viewership with other streamers, which is good for everybody. Numbers going up. Making improvements to Twitch Mobile, the ads and the partner program, adding more sponsor brand deals, and increasing the sub prices, in addition to improving community safety tools. And they didn't detail how they're going to be doing that, but my hunch is that there's some AI involved. So we'll see how all of that plays out. But I appreciate getting this level of communication from somebody at Twitch, namely the CEO. I think it's a move in the right direction.
Really going for transparency and candor and like making sure audience is informed and that they're trying to work on improving. Because there's been a couple like stuff that they've done that, you know,
they haven't been. They could handle differently, and
so
that's the nicest way you could have put it.
You know, that's just how I roll, man. I just try to keep it nice and PG.
Well, I mean, they were definitely in the shit over the last 2 years. Yeah. Like, they've had some really bad things happen. They've had their community revolt against them. They've lost a couple of their very high profile streamers to other platforms. And the monetization changes that they implemented last year in particular, I think were a huge blow to a lot of the creator community who's really been sustaining a lot of the audience on Twitch over many years. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have been looking at Twitch as a platform and going like, fix it.
Yeah.
Like, you used to be this really amazing place to build communities and to draw people in and embody the spirit of what brings the gaming community together. And it felt like it's just been going downhill since Amazon's takeover and a lot of the senior leadership who founded Twitch exited.
Right.
And they had additional layoffs last year and they lost some of their team. So I think a lot of us are looking at Twitch going, what is up with you guys? What's the plan? And so I think it's a really smart move by their CEO to come out at the beginning of the year and say, listen, we got some cool things coming. Let's talk about like all the positives and how we can start like maybe rebuilding our relationship with you guys, both from a creator standpoint and as an audience standpoint. And I think that that's great. I think it's a really smart thing. And I think these are all going to be really positive steps forward.
Yeah. I've been really happy seeing him every time there's something that comes out or he's talking to, you know, in those streams with Mary Kish or whatever.
Oh, we love Mary.
We love Mary.
She's the best.
Yeah. And it's very much geared towards like helping the creators and getting them back on board. And I think it's true that it has been harder and harder to grow on Twitch, I feel like, for a lot of creators. So this is really good.
It's great to see somebody a little bit more visible, a little bit more transparent.
Yeah.
Communicating on behalf of Twitch, because a lot of the audience and the community have not felt heard.
Right.
So it's good that we're seeing a turnaround.
Yeah. Let's keep it positive. We need it.
Fingers crossed.
We need it.
We need it.
Another headline that I didn't want to have to write into the show this week, but sadly broke right before we started recording, is from Variety, and it says Rooster Teeth is shutting down after 21 years. Now, this was a really hard piece of news to get like first thing in the morning today.
Yeah. And it's raining here.
Oh, it happened while the staff was still in the all hands. Like, it broke like,
in real time
simultaneously as the staff were finding out.
Yeah.
And that also is like, I can only imagine for people who are confused and have questions and are like, what's happening? And it just feels so bad when these companies don't give the people inside any kind of heads up or warning.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you're fully shutting down a brand, like, you can tell people and give them time to prepare.
And process and everything.
It just feels so yucky. So Rooster Teeth, in business for over 20 years, went through multiple ownership changes over the last couple of years. Parent company is currently Warner Brothers Discovery. And they've been, you know, having some trouble like a lot of other people in the digital media space has. So Jordan Levin is the general manager of Rooster Teeth right now. So he says, with a heavy heart, I announced that Rooster Teeth is shutting down due to challenges facing digital media resulting from fundamental shifts in consumer behavior and monetization across platforms, advertising, and patronage. Our legacy is not just a collection of content, but a history of pixels burned into our screens, minds, and hearts. And that's from the memo that was distributed internally at Rooster Teeth.
That's really sweet.
It's just really, really awful.
Mm-hmm.
Having been at multiple companies now that have done this. I can speak from firsthand experience that it fucking sucks.
Dude, I remember when we, and not to change the subject, but quickly when we heard about G4 shutting down, we heard it on the weekend from a tweet before we got into
Sunday
the office.
Sunday night news.
It was Sunday night news. And people were like expecting to go in the next day and, you know, finishing filming the show that they're working on. And like, not surprised, you can't, you're locked out of everything. It was horrible. And this is no better. It's never good. And my heart goes out to everybody who got this news today. That sucks.
Yeah, we have a lot of friends there.
A lot, yeah.
And What's Good Games has worked with Rooster Teeth for many years at this point, and we are still partners with The Roost, the podcast network, which is the one part of Rooster Teeth that apparently is going to survive on is the sales team. Shocking. But I'm very excited that they're not going away. But this story did indicate that Warner Brothers Discovery is looking to sell that asset as well. So how that's going to impact our show, TBD, we don't know yet. But, you know, we do know that Rooster Teeth has made some substantial changes to their business over the last couple of years, including canceling RTX, their fan show, which we did What's Good Games meetup at and did a panel and all kinds of stuff and got to see lots of y'all. And, you know, as Naomi mentioned, we have all kinds of friends who work at Rooster Teeth, and it's just a really sad day.
Yeah. And it's such an, you know, the fans of Rooster Teeth, I know, it's like they've been there for so long and they've just consumed so much of their content. And I feel like Rooster Teeth has this really dedicated audience. And it's just so sad also for the people who grew up watching their stuff and, you know, just to see them. Yeah. I'm sending out my best for everyone affected. It's really hard. Especially with everything going on in the industry. It's just another blow.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and for content creators or digital media space folks like us, you know, it really is just this weird time and we're terrified.
Yeah.
Well, I'm terrified.
It's just a stark reminder to everybody listening and watching that if you like a show, you like a content creator, you want them to continue, you must engage with them as much as possible.
Yes.
Yeah. And it doesn't mean you have to listen to every minute of every piece of content they put out, but, you know, throw them likes, put up comments every once in a while, make sure that if they have a subscription and you have the money that you, you know, support them through that. Click on the ads, like listen to the ads when they come up if you can. You know, it's things like that that really make a difference in aggregate that I think as consumers of media, we sometimes get a little numb to because we're so inundated with media across so many different platforms
constantly.
Now. Like there's just an abundance of ways to consume content, especially in digital spaces. And it's like one of those, oh, we don't know what we got till it's gone. And it's like, well, it's gone now.
It's gone. And I think somebody in one of our group chats mentioned in the Reddit, they're encouraging people to download and archive all of the content that they've subscribed to as much as possible. Because
I'm with my megaphone saying that because I've had so much of my work just deleted. And Warner Brothers was one of those companies that deleted everything I worked on when I was at Machinima. It's just gone.
It's gone.
Like some of it, like a couple videos here and there got saved by people who were able to either upload them to other sites or to archive them personally. But like, I didn't know that they were just going to like turn all of that off. And I don't know what's going to happen to the Rooster Teeth catalog of content.
I think I saw they're shopping around to see if anybody would acquire some of the shows.
To put it on their platforms.
To put it on their platforms.
Any platform. There's so many platforms now. I mean, Fubo TV, Freevee, just as like some ideas, but.
Yes, according to the article, it said that.
There's another movie coming too.
Yeah
they're currently in talks to sell the rights to certain parts of the catalog, including the popular anime style series Ruby, the pioneering sci-fi spoof Red versus Blue, which is how Rooster Teeth got their start, and then Michael B. Jordan's animated mecha series Genlock, as a couple of the things that they are looking to shop.
Yeah.
So
sorry, man.
Yeah,
that's
a big old bummer.
Big bad news. Yeah.
Crappy news.
Yeah. What a way.
Yeah.
To round out the headlines. Okay. On that note, let's take a quick break where you're going to listen to some ads. But if you don't want to listen to some ads and you want to support the show, don't forget we have a premium membership. whatsgoodgames.supercast.com. Check it out. All kinds of cool benefits, like supporting our show. Did I say that already? Don't let us go away, everybody. Okay, here are the ads now. Let's talk about what we've been playing. And this week, ladies, I've got a preview.
Yes.
Ooh. For an upcoming game from the folks at Funcom called Dune Awakening. Mm. So I got to chat with our friend and friend of the show, Trisha Hershberger, about this on her stream earlier this week. If you guys caught that over on her channel, we love Trisha. And she was at the same preview event that I was at where we got to have a first look at Dune Awakening and then got to watch Dune Part 2, which is amazing. queen. We'll talk about that in just a second. So I wanted to talk quickly about Dune Awakening and this new survival MMO coming from the team at Funcom, which you guys may know from Conan Exiles, which was the last big MMO that they did.
Yeah.
So they put out a new trailer, and then they put out a developer direct where they talked about some of the artist inspiration and some of the work that they've been doing with the Herbert Estate about, and the movie team in using some of their art assets and things like that to kind of create some of the unique cohesive look that the new movie franchise has. So
smart move.
Yes, I think it's an incredibly smart move. So Dune Awakening is, like I mentioned, a survival MMO. Survival as a starting point and political endgame as a destination is kind of like the thing they were talking about in the overall arc of how the gameplay of this MMO is going to go. So there's going to be an emphasis on multiplayer, as in the massively multiplayer online suggests. And what I like, though, is that there's going to be some really cool dedicated single player stuff that you can do. And then the PvP stuff specifically is going to be, some of it's going to be very optional. They are building this game in Unreal 5, which is why it looks so pretty. Mm, there's going to be a big emphasis, of course, like most MMOs, on crafting, survival. There's going to be
some base guild building system,
base building. There's a lot of pieces to break down here. So let me start with the survival elements. Because like, what makes an MMO like a survival MMO versus, you know, your standard MMO? And obviously, because this is on Arrakis, part of the crux of the Dune franchise, the planet has really harsh conditions, and water management is going to be a big part of the gameplay. Sun management, meaning when you're moving about, when you're in deep shade, when you're in other kinds of shade, is also going to be part of the survival elements they had mentioned. And of course, other players as well. They're going to come for you, but are you going to drink their blood? Maybe. That's a thing you can do, apparently, in this game. I mean, you do filter the blood into water. It's this whole Fremen thing, you guys. That's interesting. I don't particularly gravitate towards survival games of any type, but this is Dune, so am I going to check it out? You guys know I'm going to check it out. For people who are listening on podcasts, I'm literally holding up a notebook because I wrote physical notes, right? Or like with an actual pen and paper. I was very proud of myself.
You're very excited.
I thought it was genius. I'm like, yeah, any way you can get your stuff organized, you know, like paper still exists, pens still exist.
Kicking it old school, yeah, everybody. I love it. What I thought was a really cool part of the game that they described was this Coriolis storm system. Mm. So they described a PvP zone in the deep desert of Dune where the large sandworms are that is going to be utilizing this technology that they're kind of dubbing the shifting sands. Meaning once a week, the map of the zone will completely reset and you have to learn the map all over again.
That's so cool.
I love that. Ooh. That's genius.
I was like, whoa. Huh. I'm simultaneously excited and terrified because who's got the time to relearn something like this? But that's where the high-end rewards are going to be, end-game activities.
Keeps it interesting.
And it's like, where's Xur? Like, you just chase that dude all around the galaxy.
Yeah. Yeah, but I could always go to Google and type in, where's Xur? And in fact, it was in my top Google results for many years before they changed Xur's functionality. But I'm really excited to see how they're going to actually bring this together from a gameplay standpoint, because it sounds like a really interesting idea, particularly when you think about how mass deserts in real life actually, like, the sand dunes move and shape with the winds and stuff. So I was like, this is a really cool concept, and I really want to see how they're going to execute it. Base building, as we touched on when we were watching the trailer, is obviously a core mechanic in this game, as it was. So Funcom said that they take everything they learned from Conan Exiles and are building on top of that, and they're also allowing players to create blueprints for the houses that they build and the bases that they build that they can then sell to other players.
Oh, wow.
Oh, snap.
And I was like,
they got you.
Yes. That is
sign me up.
They got you.
Am I going to be making blueprints? Money. No. Am I going to be buying somebody else's blueprints? Yes.
Okay.
Oh my God.
In another world, if I had more time, would I maybe consider
it's creating its own in-game economy?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think about Fallout and, you know, kind of their take on this. Mm-hmm. And that's like, for me, my closest one-to-one and other like really extensive base building. And I really wanted to get into base building in Fallout, and I just couldn't ever dedicate the time. I just too ADHD, too distracted by everything else. But I love that they're doing that here, and I'm excited to see the different kinds of things that they're going to bring in aesthetically and how these bases are going to look. I do want to mention that there's going to be really cool vehicles in the game.
Yeah, I was seeing in the trailer.
Yeah, so the Ornithopter, of course, is the iconic kind of helicopter-looking thing that is going to be in the game, but there's also going to be a variety of land vehicles and other kinds of air vehicles. In addition, there's also going to be a gameplay element called Shipwrecks, where starships, crashed starships, are going to be these generally PvP zones, they said, where you're going to be able to, like, scavenge them like a dungeon and get different kinds of tech.
This is up my alley. Yes.
So
I didn't want to play this.
I'm like, everything they were saying was like, yes. I need to see more. I need to see more, and I want to see like more gameplay. So the game is currently in closed beta. I asked a variety of questions trying to get Funcom to answer me when it's coming out of closed beta. Or when the launch window is, and they're like, I'm sorry, what's the question? So they dodged me real good.
No.
So the answer is, we're working on the game. And I was like, okay, so there is no answer as to when it's coming out of closed beta and when it's going to be ready for launch. They're like, fair. I'm sorry, what was the question? I was like, you're good at this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So don't know. They're working on it.
Okay.
So that to me is like, well, okay, I guess I'll just sit tight then. But I really love this quick look that they gave us at the game, and I'm looking for a more in-depth preview.
Do we know how long they've been working?
I didn't ask exactly how many years they've been working on it, but I think it's been like 3 or 4.
Yeah, sounds big.
This is a big game.
Big game, big team.
Maybe longer. I mean, yeah, it's going to be big. And I love that they have a political faction system. The two factions that are going to be in the game at the beginning are the Harkonnen and the Atreides factions, even though I always say Harkonnen because that's the way they said it in the 80s movie. You know, don't at me. The new movie says Harkonnen. I don't know who's right. Potato, potato. And they're going to be adding more factions post-launch, and you're going to be able to study within the different schools of the universe so you can build out your skill tree for your individual character in the game. Wow. And they had mentioned that you could take skills from different schools, meaning if you start out like want to be like a Sadokar or like a combat focused person, you can study with the Bene Gesserit to learn more of their skills. And I was like, ooh, I like this.
Oh my gosh.
This is cool. So eager to see how that comes together RPG in the progression tree as well.
Yeah. It sounds like the lore and the world of Dune translates very well to
a video game.
An RPG, which is very cool to see.
Yeah. I mean, Frank Herbert did an amazing job building the world of Dune across his book series, and it's one of my favorite sci-fi series of all time. If you've never read those books, they're very good, and they're actually a surprisingly fast read if you're into like big literature books, fantasy books. But I don't usually play MMOs. Yeah. My only MMO I've ever dedicated a substantial amount of time to is Destiny. Mm. And I don't know if I have time for another one, but this one sounds really good.
Sounds really exciting.
It sounds like you might have a lot of time to wait. Since we have no
details. Your time. Come out in 2027, please. Thanks.
Yeah. Too many games to play before that.
Because I'm real busy right now, as Naomi is, with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that game's great. I don't know if you guys have been Final Fantasy fans since, like, VII.
That's definitely Brit's realm. Like, my big thing that I told our audience was Final Fantasy VII Remake really hooked me in the franchise. I dabbled a couple of games, but was very excited about what I thought was Episode 2, which is now obviously Rebirth. And it hasn't disappointed.
Part 2. Yeah, it's great. I think if you're looking for something that's like expanded on Remake and made it even bigger, and like, I mean, if they don't call it an open world, it's more like a expanded world, because you know, it was very linear in the first part. So this next one is really good. I obviously am maybe a bit biased because I worked for Square Enix. I did their countdown to launch live stream, and I got to meet the voice actors. But there is something really special about this game and how they took from the original and made just like totally just brought it to the new age. And I really like everything about this game is beautiful. I'm always like, everyone's so hot. And it's just like,
I just did the beach stuff. And I was like,
oh, yeah.
Can they just wear their beach wear the whole game?
Yeah, just like bikinis everywhere all the time. But yeah, it's beautiful. It's so, it just like captured a lot of what I used to love when I played the VII games. When I played VII when I was younger, and then X2 much later on. But I just thought everything about Rebirth, and I'm still going through it, obviously, is fun. And you could play it at your own like pace. You don't have to do hard mode. Like, you can just, if you're just about the story, just go easy, and it's just as fun.
Oh, I definitely dropped it down to baby mode.
It's beautiful. It's such a pretty game. Yeah? Okay, good.
Yeah. I got like probably 20 hours in, and I was like, what am I doing? Yeah.
I know.
I mean, I love what they did with the combat system, and I love how they improved it from what we saw in Remake, but I ain't got time to learn it all.
No, just do this. Yeah. But just go through it and experience the world. And it's pretty, it's like 40 hours and if you just focus on the story.
Mm. Okay.
But there is a lot to that game.
I'm like 40 hours in and I'm only on chapter 5.
Are you doing side quests or anything?
All of them.
Maybe don't do that. Just don't do those.
There's so many though.
There's a lot.
Not all those the game fiend is dens though. Ain't got time for Chadley and his combat simulator. Okay.
The game definitely encourages you to do more outside. Like, you know, the chocobo stuff or like, there's like all the mini games.
Fine. A bunch of segues.
Yeah.
Well, it's like was saying things, for fans, and I would love to hear your, you know, thoughts on this too, as somebody who played the original. She was like, the proto relic missions are like not to be missed from a lore standpoint if you are into Final Fantasy. And she had recommended doing the side quests and the proto relic stuff. And then she was like, all of the other open world stuff, like you could skip it if you wanted to, but narratively, this stuff is recommended.
I'm like you, where I have a lot of games to play. So I just do the story stuff, I think. And I played 7. So I feel like, you know, the original and back in the day. And so I think just like getting through the main story stuff, you're totally fine if you want to do that. And that's kind of what I'm going to do, just to get through it, finish a game for one of these days and get move on to other stuff. But I'm also excited for, you know, part 3, and then that'll be the end. That'll be the trilogy. So
no spoilers, but has there been some story stuff that you were like upset about or excited about? Because I know that there's been a couple changes.
I know. I wonder why they made some of the decisions they did, but I'm not like mad about it. I think that they, as much as possible, stay true to like, some of it is very like so clear cut from the original game. So I'm like, I'm a satisfied customer. If it's, I know what the FF7 did for me back then, and I know that it's not going to be the same, and I'm kind of okay with that because it is a really pretty game and it's still honoring, I think, a lot of the original, like what made it special. So I'm not super mad about that. I understand why some fans are, you know, in the story-based stuff, but I think it's okay. I'm one of those people who's like, I'm not going to be butthurt if you expand or do something different.
That's how I feel about the Avatar live action, actually. Yeah.
Like expand, like make it different, you know, make it your own. Like, I don't know. I'm another down opportunity for some surprises, you know.
That's how I felt about the Dune movie,
Yeah, I want surprises. I want, you know, something that's going to... Oh, okay. I wonder why they made that decision. Yeah. Interesting.
Are you as obsessed with Queen's Blood as Brittany and I are?
Oh my God. Can you get the mobile game out now, please?
No, I am not. But please tell me more. Okay. Why are you obsessed with it?
I think it scratches an itch for a puzzle game that I haven't had in a while, because normally I shy away from traditional deck builder games and card games because I get overwhelmed by the idea that I have to learn all of the ways the cards interact together.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I have to learn specific cards, and then I have to build the decks.
Did you play Marvel Snap or anything?
I dabbled in Marvel Snap. Mm-hmm. I would not even give it. We're talking like an hour. I played actually a good amount of Hearthstone when it first came out.
Yeah.
Like it got way, way, deep. Way back in the day. But generally just don't do a lot of deck builders. Mm-hmm. There's several places in this game where the game kind of just like almost makes you play it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But from the jump, it was like really approachable. And I think they onboarded you in a really smart way to the point where I started seeking out the card vendors and being like, I'm buying every single card that I can possibly get.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until I got to the Costa del Sol section of Final Fantasy where there's different puzzle elements of the game where you're not playing against another player. You're playing against like a static set of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have like only these like 4 cards and you have to figure out how to beat the other opponent. Mm-hmm. And there's this one that just stumped me.
I wonder if it's the same one that stumped us.
And I was like, this has got to be just something I'm not seeing. It's like any kind of puzzle game where you're playing and then somebody comes in and is over your shoulder watching. They're like, oh, you just got to do this, this, and this. And you're like, motherfucker, I've been trying to figure it out for 3 hours or whatever. And they just come in and instantly solve it. I was like, I bet you if John was here, he would be like, you just have to do it this way.
I know.
But I finally figured it out. And I love that it made me sit down and go, okay, should I be moving on and going through with the story and proceeding? Yes. But I know this is solvable.
Yeah.
I'm going to solve it.
You became obsessed.
Yes, I did.
Your ADHD took over a little bit.
But what I really love about the design of what they did with that minigame is that after I completed those puzzles, I was like, wow, I did not even think about how I could be using some of the cards in my deck. Mm-hmm. And it really showed me all of the different ways that I could be playing that I didn't even
smart gameplay
stop to think about.
Smart
I was like,
design.
Like the mind explode emoji. I know. Was,
right?
I was like, this is
But
so
now
good.
If you learn that, you can probably master any All card game after that.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, I think you're giving me a little too much credit, but I appreciate your positivity.
Yeah.
So yeah, very excited about the game. Just slowly making my way through.
Yeah. And so many people are loving it. So many people are playing it. I'm really happy.
Speaking
them.
Of a game people are loving and playing, Helldivers 2, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Third week in a row that I've brought this game up on Ooh. The show because I finally played it myself. That's a
and
lot.
And what did you think?
I first off want to say that both you and Brittany did me a disservice by not fully explaining how the gameplay works.
What do you mean?
Friendly fire, not mentioned once.
Okay, what? Wait, I did.
That's like a key
I
thing.
Swear.
That's
time.
A key thing.
I swear I mentioned that it's chaos when you accidentally blow up your friends.
So
I feel like I said that.
You said that, but in my mind, I was thinking, oh, you mean like when I accidentally like rocket launcher myself in Destiny?
No.
Or like accidentally grenade, but like the friendly fire in Helldivers.
Is real.
It's like, it's Rainbow Six Siege
yeah.
friendly fire.
Oh yeah, you can
Every
drop
Every bullet will take down your health.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can absolutely like drop an ordnance weapon on your friend and kill them.
It's kind of so the funny, funny. One fun aspect of it though.
Yeah. Because
like you never know when it might happen and you're just like, bro. And sometimes this always happens in the weirdest, craziest ways. You're like, yeah. I don't even know. Yeah, it yeah. was just chaos, you know? Sorry.
I had the pleasure of visiting my friends at Kinda Funny last week, and I was streaming with Joey and Kevin. When I was playing with Joey, I literally headshotted her by accident. And I was just like, in the moment, I was just like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Wow.
But I mean, this is such a fun formula that they've created in this third person shooter. I do wish that they had launched with more cosmetics. Joey and I just kept lamenting, being like, we would give you so many of our real world
it's coming,
dollars.
I feel like
for some better cosmetics.
Yeah. Just like a different color.
Yeah. Like, just one. Just like customize the colors or anything. Yeah, I agree with that.
Or
make
it
better for also when you're playing by yourself. I feel like they haven't really
the solo queue
it
experience
that.
Is yeah. not as good.
Not yeah. good. It's yeah. tough. It's tough to do anything alone in that game. But yeah, I agree with the customization. That is a thing I wish they would add. I'm sure they're gonna work
yes,
on that.
Sure.
It's not something they've overlooked.
Yeah, it's money on the table at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just hope that they can keep their momentum going and don't lose this like zeitgeist moments that they have because there's so many games
bottle.
Coming and going. I mean, I feel like we were all hot on Pal World just like a month ago. Now no one's talking about Pal World. Everyone's talking about Helldivers.
Yeah. Seems to be an ongoing thing with games right now. I feel like every month or every so often there's like a new thing and everyone jumps on and then it dies down. Then it's a new thing. And yeah,
absolutely.
Just yeah. It happened with Diablo, a bunch of other stuff.
Dude.
Just one after the other.
Hey, it's fun for now.
I know. Yeah. It's good. It's like when people are really excited about something and you have your group of friends that you play with, it's just like, you have something to do now. It's like, let's check out this new game. Let's learn and talk about it. And then, you know, we move on to the next thing after. But
yeah. I think it's also really fun. And if you can take it in a lighthearted way to just like lean into the messaging and the jargon around the game. It's like, hey, you want to spread some democracy tonight? Like it just feels good to adopt
the lingo.
Messaging and the lingo.
And
it's
that's
a lot of
what
fun.
They did really well in this game. Like, I don't think a lot of games did it in a way that was so adaptable and funny.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think this,
very funny game.
Yeah. Like this kind of works in every sort of, and it's very characteristic of this game. Like there's no other game that has that kind of, they just made it really funny and
it's super irreverent.
And
it's laughing at itself. It's like, we're not taking this seriously. We're getting dropped in things called hell pods onto planets where giant bugs and monsters and other things are trying to kill us, and it's basically just chaos.
Yeah, like even the training, the tutorial, where there's a part where you walk up, spoilers for Helldivers training tutorial.
No, the tutorial is a waste of time.
Well, if you walk up to, there's this one section, you walk up to something, and I can't remember what the word was, but it was something like we like to test you and see if you can really learn how to take a hit or how to heal yourself.
Yeah.
And so you press a button and it stabs you through the chest.
Yep.
And it's like, okay, now your heart, heal yourself. You're like, oh my God. Like they're really going for it. But like that whole Starship Troopers vibe and like.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah,
Starship Troopers.
It is a really fun like satire and I'm having a lot of fun with the writing, like you said.
Yeah. It's so fun.
It's silly.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
Don't jump off Helldivers yet.
Yeah. No. I mean, I'm just getting started. I'm only like level 5, so.
Yeah. Same.
Level 10.
I have to catch up to Naomi, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
We gotta grind.
I've been playing quite a bit. But I'm not that, as there's people who, like my husband's at, I don't know, 20 or 25. Jeez or something. Louise. I don't know.
Well, we were playing on stream again? With somebody from the Kind of Funny community who was like level 37 or something.
Holy
and was
crap.
Like, that's a commitment.
Yeah, good for
Bro.
You. Time commitment.
Impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, super fun. Definitely looking forward to playing more Helldivers and, I mean, more games to come.
Yeah.
It just feels like Fast and Furious. Haven't tried a bunch of games. Haven't tried Suicide Squad yet. Haven't tried Skull and Bones yet. Got more stuff to play. Haven't tried Prince of Persia yet.
Oh, wow.
My gosh.
Prince of Persia is so good.
And it's only been out for six weeks,
it
5 weeks.
So good.
It feels like it was out ages ago. And it's like, nope, a month ago.
Yeah. So many games.
Yeah, homework.
Mm-hmm. I know. I got lots of homework.
You just keep playing Dreamlight Valley.
Well, if someone wants to come over and do my kids' laundry for me, and then I can do some of my homework, that would be great. You know, but she's in her IP on everything era, so that's super fun for me.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Toddlers, aren't they great?
That exhale.
Just tired of cleaning up pee, you know?
Oh, no. Like,
but you know, I was talking, I remember who I was talking to. Maybe it was Trisha. I was just like, I'm grateful that she has not been a poop painter.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I've heard of
a
this.
Poop thrower, have you heard a poop eater? Apparently that is a thing that toddlers can do too. And I was like, nope, no, thank you. Don't want to deal. But heard horror stories from other parents about kids who play with their feces in all manner of ways. And I'm like, haven't done that. So... Knock on wood, it doesn't ever happen for me,
at least.
Is this wood? I hope so.
It is a piece of
just
wood.
Just checking.
Here. Yes, it is.
Okay, good.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for our show for this week. Thanks so much for hanging out. Naomi, thank you so much for coming by.
Yes, of course. And please listen to my show, This Week in Gaming. I promise you, it's so quick. It's 20 minutes. Just hit click play. And if you don't want to listen to it, just then get out of it. But definitely check it out. It's on all podcast platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcast, all that stuff.
iHeartRadio.
Yeah, that's and it's
big.
If you're in Canada, listen for the iHeartRadio show when it goes up. So it's going to be broadcast across there. I'm going to get some details on that. So anyways, follow me on all the things and we'll talk more about it.
We'll put her links in the show notes and we're so glad that you came by.
Yeah.
Rihanna, great to see you IRL.
I know, right? Yeah. And Violet's first visit to the studio.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
I got to meet Violet too. Such a sweetie.
The world's cutest baby.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, gorgeous.
Thank you.
I mean, my baby, but then your baby, but then your baby, because your baby's actually a baby. My baby's
not a baby anymore.
She's so big.
Oh my God. We're going to cry about that some other time. All right, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.